So no, didn't even need a mic. That's good. It came from a Baptist church, all right. The angels didn't have microphones either. But glory to God in the highest. In Latin, that is in excelsis Deo. I like that ring, in excelsis Deo. It sounds kind of high and, you know, kind of spiritual sounding. But it simply means glory to God in the highest. Well, Merry Christmas, family of God. If you have your handout, I'd like you to take that out right now. And we have a responsive reading that will set up our time, our message. And the message is really, the summary of the message is in your handout. So you can refer to that later, or you can follow along if you wish. But I'd like to do this responsive reading. And the parts where we will say it together is going to be the part that's not bold. And the bold parts, I'm going to say that myself, okay? So it was kind of a response back and forth, if you will, okay? So why don't we begin with that first line of the responsive reading that's not bold, and when the bold part comes, I will say that, okay? Okay, let's start. Ready, go. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. This child is destined to cause the rise and fall of nations, and the sword will pierce your soul also. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds we are healed." He took the bread, and after he had broken it, he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being in appearance as a man, he humbled himself to death, even death on a cross. Father, it's astounding the thing that you have done. Jesus, we thank you for coming to earth and rescuing us from our sins when there was nothing we could do. There was no help in sight. You came and you saved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Merry Christmas, family of God, once again. At Christmas time, all around the world, people enjoy these parties and gift giving and special decorations. And these decorations, these festivities actually help us to foster a sense of goodwill among us. And sometimes we can lose the meaning of Christmas because just the fact that we have a festivity going on, it can feel good. It makes people feel good all over the world. I hear, however, in countries like Japan, I hear back from missionaries who say they have a wonderful celebration in Christmas, but they don't have any Jesus. Jesus is missing. So it's like the wrappings on the gift, right? But fortunately, there are many people and many countries around the world and many individuals around the world who also enjoy not just the gift box, but they enjoy what is inside of that box. That is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I trust you're merry and bright means that you have experienced the gift of Jesus Christ. And you will be able to enjoy Christmas not just one day a year, but for eternity. Recently, I saw a movie called Sully. Any of you saw that movie, Sully? It's about Captain Chesley Sullenberger, the airline pilot. On January 15th, just about 3 weeks after Christmas, an American Airways jet took off from LaGuardia Airport, and after flying into a flock of birds, it lost power in both wings. And they were basically gliding, and Captain Sully had to figure out what to do. He was amazing in the calm and the clarity of thought. At least that's what it looked like outside. But inside, Captain Sullivan said, Sullenberger said, "The worst sickening pit of your stomach falling through the floor feeling that he ever experienced." Can you imagine piloting a jet with about 150 people on board, and you lose power in both engines? He safely landed the crippled plane on the Hudson River. You folks remember that? Just like every newscast carried this video, pictures, and the plane sitting on the Hudson River before it sank, and everyone on that plane was able to get out safely. Our human understanding sometimes has difficulty understanding and comprehending the contrasts of events. It happens to us all the time, and it happens to us at Christmas time. Mark Lowry wrote a song called "Mary, Did You Know?" And this song has been such a really, really popular song for many, many years, I think because of the contrast. It's a song of contrasts. It talks about the wonder and amazement of a baby boy Jesus who is going to one day walk on water. This baby boy Jesus in Mary's arms is going to save your sons and daughters. This baby you deliver, Mary, will soon deliver you. This child you're holding, Mary, is the great I Am, the creator of the universe. All of these things are contrasting thoughts that we have difficulty comprehending. We should not be too surprised at that, because God is outside of the universe. He's not inside of the universe, and so we can't use inside of the universe thinking to understand God. Likewise, to God, Jesus' birth and death are not contrasts, but they're really one and the same, one and the same Spirit. So that's why this year I wanted to celebrate Christmas and communion on the same Sunday. Now, there are some churches that celebrate communion every Sunday, so those churches would automatically celebrate communion on Christmas as well. But we don't normally do that, and most churches don't. Most churches have Christmas here, and then sometime later they have communion, and it's kept different. And yet, the spirit of lowering himself, Jesus lowering himself to lift others up, is common to both Christmas and communion. Celebrating Jesus' birth and death may seem a little ironic to us, a little contrasting, if you will. Yet when we see the Spirit of Jesus in Christmas and communion, we cannot help but exclaim, "Glory to God in the highest." I recently read a book by an author and speaker, Simon Sinek, and it's entitled "Leaders Eat Last." It's a book on leadership, really. It's not about Christian leadership or anything like that. There's nothing, no reference to Christian things in there. It's just about business and military and things like that. He gives several examples from corporations and the United States Marine Corps that show how they are run in a very unusual way. Certain businesses are run in a certain different way. And in this book, Simon Sinek points out that people everywhere seem to know when a leader of the group receives honor, recognition, and privilege, that when the group faces a threat, the leader is expected to step up and protect the group. And when the leader receives honor, respect, and privileges, and when there is threat to the group and the leader does not step up, people automatically and intuitively know something is wrong. Something is not matching here. People are willing to give honor to a leader who is willing to push things forward. But if that leader does not come through when they need to come through, they're going to know that something is wrong. And as I read Simon Sinek's words, something sounded very strangely familiar to me, and it occurred to me that the kind of leadership that protects the group is the kind of leadership that God provides for his people. This leadership from cradle to crucifixion is what Jesus did to save his people from their sins. When his people were in distress, God set out a plan from the beginning of time. God's purpose from Christmas to communion is one and the same: to protect his people from the threat of eternal death. Do you see it? We come to Jesus. We honor Jesus as our perfect King and leader. Jesus, being the perfect King and leader, steps up to protect and rescue his people. Passengers on the American Airways flight had a reunion one day after that fateful day. And when they met, they had just amazing praise for Captain Sully. I would too if I were on that plane. I wouldn't be able to help but say, well, Captain Sully, that's more than just a good job. Thank you. You're fantastic. You're incredible. Thank you. We owe our lives to you. Jesus Christ is our Captain Sully. But he's more, because Jesus knew he had to die in order to save us. How did Jesus take steps to protect his people? Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, and 3 and 4. The verse that was read earlier by Betty in the choir said, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness." See that making himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, is Christmas. The very next verse, the Apostle Paul goes on to write, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself to death, even death on a cross." That's communion. This Christmas and communion is really found throughout the New Testament. Did you catch that? Jesus protected his people by making himself nothing, first of all, and then making himself, and then from the place of emptiness and nothingness, he humbled himself. I don't know about you, but that blows my mind. He made himself nothing, and then he humbled himself from there. How do you do that? I'm at a loss for words. When we understand this spiritual truth, we naturally want to praise God and say, "Glory, glory to God in the highest." And for all of those who put their faith in Jesus Christ, Jesus will not fail. The Bible says that he is the good shepherd who does not run from threats but lays down his life for his sheep. He is the one who makes us righteous when the religious law could not. He is the one who sees us suffer through sickness and pain and loss and crippling depression and paralyzing traumas. And he declares to us, I am the resurrection and the life. When the world gives you much trouble, he is the one who overcomes the world. When the gates of hell press in on your life, Jesus promises they will not prevail against you. The angels on that first Christmas must have known this because they declared, glory to God in the highest. When we see our King, our leader, do this for us, we declare, glory to God in the highest. As the band comes up, I'd like to say that, you know, when a baby is born, we celebrate, pass out candies and Baby Ruth bars and Good News bars and things like that. We celebrate the birth of the baby. When a loved one passes away, we as Christians, we can again celebrate. And that's why we often call a funeral service a celebration of life. Renee Koyama passed away recently, and she planned her funeral service 3 years before she died. She entitled her service a celebration. She wanted the people to celebrate her departure just as people celebrate at her birth. As at Christmas, we see our leaders, our leader, Jesus, beginning his work of protecting his people. At communion, we see our leader, Jesus, finishing his work of protecting his people. And we declare, glory to God in the highest. Lord, thank you that at Christmas and communion, we're recognizing and blessing your name for what you have done for us. Truly, Lord, you are the leader who stands in and steps up when we were threatened by death itself. And you took on death upon your own body so that you can give us eternal life. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.